Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Today, thank you.
I tell you what. In my garden, I've taken the rise, mate.
Not today, thank you.
Taking the rise, like kilos of food every week now. Kilos.
Not today, thank you.
Those are some very small bowels for all that food to go through.
Not today, thank you.
How many little birds' colons have I filled up this week? And then they just do it all over my son's Hot Wheels track. And who has to clean it up? Muggins here, that's who!
It's a joke. Hello, I hope you had a nice weekend. Obviously, it was pretty massive over here. All the pubs opened to celebrate it. And guess what? Surprising news we learned, which is that drunk people and social distancing don't really happen. Who could ever have predicted that? So we celebrated over here, but America this weekend, obviously, they go really big for Amal Rajan's birthday, the 4th of July, of course, born on the 4th of July. Did you see the fireworks and stuff in his honour at Mount Rushmore? Let's give it its actual name, the Six Grandfathers. The Six Grandfathers was named by Lakota medicine man Nicholas Black Elk, after he had a vision, and that vision was of the six sacred directions, west, east, north, south, above, and below. Said to represent kindness and love, full of years and wisdom, like human grandfathers. That's all until 1927, when Gutzon Borglum started hacking away at it. 14 years he spent on it, doing George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln. This was... not very cool. Washington Jefferson owned slaves. Roosevelt coined the phrase, the only good Indian is a dead Indian. And Lincoln, I mean, great guy, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. The next day, ordered the execution of the Dakota 38 plus 2 at Fort Snelling in Minnesota. What a guy. So set against that backdrop, we had Trump saying, "We are the people who dreamed a spectacular dream. It was called Las Vegas. In the Nevada desert." Oh, sometimes I get, do you get this? I get people who say to me, "Oh, you would love Las Vegas. You, no, you, Jay, you would love Las Vegas. Oh, I would love to see you at Las Vegas." I'd hate it. I know I'd hate it. I don't need to go. Who built up Miami from the Florida marsh and who carved our heroes into the face of Mount Rushmore. Feels a little rich, that. He went on to say, against that profane backdrop, "We believe in equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal treatment for citizens of every race, background, religion, and creed. Unless you're the Sioux. So sue me." Well, Trump's plan. Yup. Trump's plan. Well, Trump's plan. So Trump has a plan. He's got a plan for the election. Newsweek covered this, and his plan is based on a Tim Roth novel, The Plot Against America. So here's what's happened. Apparently, between 2016 and 2018, more than 17 million names have been removed from the electoral register, or voter rolls, if you prefer. Names do get removed every year. People die, they leave the state, but this is a significant increase. On average, statewide, it's 7.6% of the voters have just been removed. This is a purging. Indiana got the top spot, 22.3% of the state's voters. That's nearly a quarter of the voters. That's more than Trump's majority was in 2016. Virginia, Wisconsin, 14%. Maine, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, between 11 and 12.1%. Well, I guess that makes sense. I can understand why Trump might do that. But is there a bolder stratagem at play? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. On June 22nd, Trump tweeted, "Rigged 2020 election. Millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries and others." Wait, what is there other than foreign countries and your country? Are you suggesting a Venusian intervention? "It will be the scandal of our times." Wait, it's happening on your watch. You had 4 years to deal with that. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He's laying the groundwork for a process which will allow him to keep a hold on the presidency, even if he loses the election. I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory. All right, calm down. Here's how it works, though. Let's just say, all right, Biden wins, right? He wins the popular vote and he carries the swing states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, by a decent margin. Not overwhelming, but, you know, it's reasonable. Trump then immediately declares, "The voting was rigged. Check my tweets. There was mail-in ballot fraud, and it's the Chinese and others, the Venusians, behind a plan. And there's been election hacking throughout those four key swing states." He says, right, "The Chinese have interfered with the US election. This is a national security issue. This is an emergency." And he invokes emergency powers, directing the Justice Department to investigate the alleged activity in the swing states. William Barr has already sort of put in place the presidential powers that he needs to do that. And that sets the clock ticking down to December the 14th, because that's the deadline for the appointing of the Electoral College electors. This is a thing that there's a precedent for in Bush versus... I don't really understand that, but it's basically... what it does is it stops any further recounts December the 14th. You can't do any recounts after that. Now, those swing states have Republican control at the moment, and they then say, "No, well, we're not gonna have any certified count or anything until we've dealt with this national security emergency." The Democrats will then immediately start a legal action, saying, "Well, hang, just a minute, just a, no, I think actually." That will then go to the Supreme Court, which is completely unbiased at the moment. But maybe the Supreme Court calls it for the Democrats. But it says that you've still got to hit this December 14th deadline. And so they meet to ratify the vote on the 14th of December. But those four states aren't represented there. And then it goes to the House of Representatives. And each delegate casts one vote. And you're looking at 26 to 23 on the Republican side. So it would probably still go to the Republicans. And Trump could stay president. I mean, I don't think all Republicans would necessarily vote for that. You know, I don't know. It's interesting, though, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting. Sort of helps you forget your own drab, wretched life for a minute, doesn't it? Meanwhile, celebrated QC and Fox brainer Jolyon Maugham issued a fun tweet thread about PPE procurement. So he's doing some good work, taking a break from his Fox braining. Investigating the government's PPE contracts. 108 million quid the government entered into with a chocolatier and a supplier of pigeon netting, because, well, chocolate and pigeon nets is excellent protection. It's very weird. So he's investigated First Aventis Solutions Limited. That's an employment agency with net assets of £322. They were awarded a contract worth £18.5 million. I'm pretty sure my net assets are more than... Could I have... I'll sort out some pigeon nets and chocolates. Apparently, it was the only bidder. It was the only bidder. So you just gave it to them? Then Ayanda Capital Limited. It was the only tenderer. So we gave them £250 million. It's owned by the Horlick family through an entity based in Mauritius, quite the tax haven. It has intangible assets worth £2.8 million, but that could be anything, right? I'm pretty sure that could even be like, I've got this incredible idea for a screenplay. I mean, maybe a Netflix series. I don't know. It's a family office focusing on currency trading. Not necessarily your first one-stop shop for masks and protective gear. I don't know what a family office is, but I think it's something about sort of basically hiding money or looking after money. So it's sort of slightly jobs for the boys. And then hang on, I need to edit this. I'm not going to edit. I know I won't edit this, and then I'll leave this bit, and then I'll listen to it again, and then I'll wince when I hear it. That's what that's my life, is listening back to things I've done and wincing. Anyway, it's all very interesting, isn't it? Crisp websites. 108 million? Don't know what that is. So, Jolyon set up a Twitter poll. Saying, who would you like us to go after next? Do you want the Mauritian family office or the tiny employment agency? So, it's very interesting. It's worth having a look. Of course, now all he gets is people replying saying, yeah, all of this is true, but you smashed a fox's head in with a baseball bat, so you've got no right to take the moral high ground over the Tories. Come on. Nobody's perfect. I mean, look at me and... all them hikers. I'm kidding.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've got a treat for you now. It's Harry the Piano. I know. He's back. He's waiting patiently for me to actually just contact him again and do some more. So I've got some of your requests with him now. Harry the Piano, welcome back to Not Today, Thank You. And thank you for returning.
Oh, it's lovely to be back, Jake.
Well, what's nice is having you back in superb sparkling quality.
Yes, well done you.
Well, thank you very much. We didn't want to get you back until the technology was right.
Yes, that was a bit lamentable last time, wasn't it? Never mind.
But we've got some lovely requests for you.
Okay.
And I feel like we might as well just jump straight in. So,
I see how.
Ollie.
Never one for small talk.
No, it's just not my thing talking. Ollie has requested, how about the Empire Strikes Back theme as a nursery rhyme?
You mean a Darth Vader version of Star Wars?
I guess it's the Imperial Death March, isn't it?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Okay, as a nursery rhyme. Nice.
Yeah.
Sith nursery rhyme.
Now, Jane's got a few. And she says, this is my favourite feature. So congratulations. Straight in at number one.
Wow. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. Let's pick. I'm going to pick one of hers because we'll maybe do another one of hers another time.
Okay.
She would like Dad's Army in a Scar style. That could work,
Dad's
actually.
Army,
I can
Scar.
Hear that.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I want to whip out my saxophones now. Rick said, yes, he'd like the theme from Fraggle Rock in a ragtime style.
Yeah, sorry, you've gone into Martian there for a second, clean feed and all.
I'm sorry.
Fraggle Rock.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
Don't you get away. Worries for another day. All right, if you can't do that, I'm going to say
that. Is that a sort of kids' TV theme from the 70s, I'm guessing?
It's 80s, yeah.
80s. Early 80s. We didn't have a TV until mid-80s.
From The Muppets. So instead,
Muppets, I could do.
Why don't you do The Muppets in a ragtime style?
Which I think Muppets would be in a ragtime style. I'm sorry about that.
No. You can't expect you to have watched every TV show and.
No, it's not that. But, you know, it's just. I didn't start watching telly till the 80s, so I missed a lot.
Muppets. Did you not?
No, we didn't have a TV. I do remember my old man was a vicar.
And yeah.
He's quite strict about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We read Woodhouse instead, which is why I'm so terribly funny.
I'm so Muppets, sorry.
What was it, ragtime? Yeah, not sorry as I am.
Like, you know, you sort of hear about stories of really terrible childhoods.
Oh, it wasn't terrible. No, it wasn't terrible.
I mean, it's pretty terrible. It's pretty terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the time it is. It reminds you're excluded me from every conversation.
There was a great bookshop on Charing Cross Road in London.
Yeah.
And they had two sections of autobiography.
Yeah.
And there was one section which was, I think it was called something like Gloomy Childhoods. And there were like tons of books with titles like The Girl in the Cupboard or like really horrendous sounding
the
things.
The misery memoir genre.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Really, really, really awful sounding accounts. And then next to it, there was another section called Jolly Childhoods. And there was only one book in it. And it was Alan Titchmarsh's autobiography, Nobbit a Lad. And I was like, so we'll put you somewhere between the two.
Yeah, no, I'd have been right down the left-hand end of that selection. Playing the piano and harming myself by Harry Harris.
Perfect. Okay, so you're right. So are you up for that? Are you down with this? Can you do this?
So let me just.
It's all TV and film, isn't it? Which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mind that. Empire Strikes Back as a nursery rhyme, Dad's Army as a scar theme, and Muppets Ragtime.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we plough straight in with those three?
Why don't we smash these all up?
Okay.
Wasn't that stupendous? Harry the Piano. Here's the thing, though. That was actually the second Parsi done at it, because the first time we did it, he forgot that he was supposed to be doing Scar on Dad's Army, and he thought it was Ragtime on Dad's Army. And I don't think he'd mind me playing you the earlier take, because frankly, it's fascinating. And if you doubted his brilliance and spontaneity, you'll hear the same thing, the same three, but it's completely different. And I think it's amazing that, you know, every time he does it, it's different. So even though he's doing the same piece of music and the same styles, it's still a completely different piece of music. And I thought you'd like to hear it. So I'm sure he doesn't mind. Here's his first take, which I find just brilliant. Here it is. Was amazing, Harry the piano. I love you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got actual upcoming post lockdown gig things coming along where people could come?
Very excited the other day. Actually, I got a gig playing a piano other than my own. A gig for a festival. Can I name it? Is that, that's all right?
Yeah, of course.
The Petworth Festival. I don't think they're having anything as radical as audiences, but they are broadcasting live from one of the venues, and people are buying their passes and amazing. Having the festival at home sort of thing, which is nice. And
where,
a birthday
where
party.
Where even I've is got. Petworth? Oh, not that it
Petworth
matters.
Petworth is in Sussex. It's down sort of around the Horsham area of the country. It's very lovely around there.
It's. I mean, it's a lot of... It's 88 keys to disinfect, isn't it? It's a lot of...
It's a lot of wipe.
It's a lot of wipes.
Yeah, it is a lot of wipes, yeah.
Do you have special piano wipes, or do you...
Well, do you know what? There is a company called Coach House that do actually specialise
in... There you
in
go!
Good piano company. It's a nice festival. It's run by my mate, Stuart Collins. I'll just get a quick shout into him. Such a job this guy has. He runs the Petworth Festival, the Henley Festival, which is a massive affair over 5 days next to the river and very posh.
Wow.
And also for about 20 years, he ran the Holders Festival in Barbados.
Wow.
So that's all he does for life is organise festivals. It's good.
But,
game,
you know, the Petworth
it?
One is really good too, Harry. Don't
No, I'm
not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful festival. And
this
I've
is
been
the really
a
posh
loyal
one.
Supporter
and then there's the one in the Caribbean. I'll be at Petworth. And there he is, Harry the piano. Not just a talentless piece of crud, a horrible person to boot. I love him so much. It's petworthfestival.org.uk if you'd like to check out what he's up to there and what else is going on. That's it from me for today. Thanks very much indeed for your company. We've got more fun coming up this week, more of Professor Christine Nicol. We'll have another game saves and we'll have more Harry next week if you want to get your request in. Let's use the singular, hashtag Harry Request. On the Twitter, and we'll try to get in. Probably not for next week, but maybe the week after. As for me, I'm off now to continue the exciting work I began this weekend. A very successful start, I'm pleased to say, to my 2020 fruit fly breeding program. It's going so well. It's just wonderful seeing all those little guys building new lives. What would be nice would be to reintroduce them to the wild, but they seem to be very happy around my compost bin. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.